In the late afternoon, the Mouse Maid cast a long shadow as she wandered the deserted beach alone. Hunger, thirst, and attacks of myriad gnats and sandflies had wakened and forced her to desert the hiding place. Over one shoulder, she still carried the knotted rope. A long line of paw prints in the sand behind her emphasised the desolation of sea, sand and sky, seemingly inhabited only by predatory seabirds. She had tried gnawing at some young seaweed washed up on the tide line, but the heavy salt taste in the maiden's dry swollen mouth caused her to spit it away. Swaying slightly, she shielded her eyes from the hot orb of the sun and gazed about. Fresh water was nowhere to be had. Turning inland, she made her weary way toward a large outcrop of sand dunes to the south. Some perverse, dogged spirit drove the Mouse Maid onward, though often she would be toppled over by the hot, shifting sand of the dunes. Rolling downhill, she would pick herself up, wipe grit from her eyes, and begin climbing again. It was on top of one difficult dune she encountered the first sign of life that was not a seabird. It was a small lizard, eyes half closed, basking in the heat. The reptile did a sideways shuffle, watching her warily. The maiden tried several times to communicate, managing only a croaking noise. The lizard's head weaved from side to side as it snapped bad-temperedly at her.
You're not a frog. You make frog noise. What do you want?
The Mouse Maid managed to gasp out a single word.
Water.
The small lizard moved its head up and down, its throat pulsating.
Water, far away. You're not a lizard. You die soon. Never make it to drink water too far. So now they eat you.
She followed the creature's upward nod. Gulls were beginning to circle overhead, the scavengers of the shore, sensing when a living thing was becoming weaker and more defenceless. The maid grasped the knotted rope and swung it, calling at the sky in a hoarse voice.
I'm not finished yet. You'll see.
When she looked down, the lizard had gone. Without a backward glance, she descended the other side of the dune, half stumbling, half falling. The foot of the dune was in shadow. Before her lay a sandy flatland, dotted with scrub and coarse grass. The little Mouse Maid rested a while in the welcoming shade. Idly, her paw sank into the sand as she leaned back. Suddenly, she sat bolt upright. The sand was firm and damp, just beneath the surface. Realisation that she was not on the seaward side of the dunes brought with it the shining hope of one precious thing, water. Scrabbling dizzily, her strength failing rapidly, the maid began digging with all paws. Soon she was rewarded by darker, damp sand. Her paws made a delicious scraping noise as she tossed sand out of the shallow hole. Digging with the urgency of desperation, she was finally rewarded with one wet paw. She sat sucking her paw as the moisture seeped through the ground into the hole, forming a small, muddy pool. Throwing herself flat, the little Mouse Maid shoved her head into the hole and drank greedily, disregarding the gritty sand and ooze as life-giving water flowed down her throat. New vitality surged through her. Gurgling with delight, she lifted her head and found herself staring into the predatory eye of a gannet that had been sneaking up on her. Thwack! Thwop! With eye-blurring speed, she belted the knotted rope twice into the bird's face. It stumbled, fell over, stick-like legs buckling under it. The Mouse Maid advanced, swinging her weapon with battle light in her eyes and a clear, angry voice.
Come on! What do you want, the water or me? Come on, I'll fight you, you great feather bed!
The twirling knot struck the gannet a further three times before it managed to flop off into the air with a half-stunned squawk. The little Mouse Maid felt the blood thrumming in her veins. She tore up a nearby plant and shook it at the sky.
That goes for all of you. I'll kill the next one that comes after me. Do you hear?
She found herself shouting at an empty evening sky. The birds had gone in search of less ferocious prey. Inspecting the plant she had pulled from the ground, she noticed that the root was attached to a fat white tuber. Without further hesitation, she began munching upon it. The tuber tasted good, something like raw turnip. Evening gave way to night as the maid sat at the foot of the dune, bathing the wound on her head with a corner of her burlap smock, which she had soaked in water from her newfound well. Tapping at the cup with one paw and devouring a root held in the other, the mousemaid talked aloud to herself, enjoying the sound of her own voice.
No name, no memory, no idea where I am. Ha! I know. I'll call myself Storm, because it was the storm that brought me here. Yes, Storm. I like that.
She held the rope up and twirled it.
And you are my faithful gull whacker. There, we've both got new names now. This is good. I've got you, the shade from my sandhill, water and food.
Storm settled down in the sand as the warm summer night closed in on her.
Wish I knew who I really was, though.
Her voice sounded small and lonely amid the scrub and desolation. A pale golden moon peeped over the dunes at the little mousemaid, sleeping by the foot of the hill, clutching a piece of knotted rope, for all the world, like some infant in slumber, nursing a favourite toy.
This ends Disc 1.